Looking for truth, I found answers.
I thought I had it all figured out. Then I found purpose.
I was lost, but then I found a place to belong.
I was abused, but now I'm healed.
I was in chains, but now I'm set free.
I was bitter. Then I found grace.
Morning, everyone. Hey, welcome to church, the 9 o'clock service on a fantastic Sunday morning. The weather outside is delightful. Amen. I appreciate everybody giving the extra effort that you gave to slide on into church today. And so we're excited that you're here. If you're watching online, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate that as well. We're going to receive our offering at the end of the message, so I don't want anybody to be surprised by that. I've got a great testimony to share with you about something that happened at the as part of the Christmas offering last Sunday. So how many would like to know what happened with the Christmas offering last weekend? All right, I'll wait a few weeks to tell you then, that kind of response, all right? Hey, don't forget, the 11 o'clock service today is going to be completely different than the 9. In just a few minutes, we're going to continue the Big Picture Christmas series. But in 11 o'clock, our kids of grace, are going to be presenting a Christmas production. And so if you'd like to stay for that, we would welcome you to do that. And I know there's going to be a lot of guests here and to enjoy a great presentation by their kids. Okay. Don't forget, Wednesday night is our Grace Family Christmas, a tradition we have around here when all of the big stuff is over. We just kind of let our hair down and laugh a little bit. We got coffee and cookies and hot chocolate this Wednesday night. And Pastor Jason has organized a bit of a variety show, really. It's a lot of fun. Want to encourage you to come early to share coffee. Boy, yeah. Must have been cold in my house. I don't remember it that way. You know, I got to get this all loosened up here, okay? Coffee, cookies early, and then the fun stuff at 7 o'clock, okay? And then don't forget, this coming weekend is Christmas, and our Christmas weekend services are taking place 4 p.m. and 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve, okay? So we hope you'll join us for one of those services Saturday, 4 p.m. or 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve, and we will not be having a service on Christmas Sunday. Now, Christmas is just 7 days away, and I'm sure everybody here is ready for Christmas. How many understand that family is a big part of Christmas? Right, there'll be a lot of family gatherings this week. I went down to my family and I made our trek down to Columbus over the river through the woods last night for the Murray Christmas. That's why I get to say Murray Christmas. See what I did there? Right. Now, family is a big part of Christmas, and it's a big part of who we are and our Christmas celebrations. Now, at Christmas, particularly, we tend to want our families to be perfect. But how many would agree that most family Christmases don't quite turn out the way we imagine they might should? Perhaps a little more accurate of most family Christmases would be this scene from Christmas Vacation.
There it is.
Clark, do you think there's enough room for the angel?
Oh, sure, honey. I have a little more trimming to do, but that won't be a problem. Ready? I give you the Griswold family Christmas tree.
A lot of sap in here. It looks great. A little full. A lot of sap.
Now, a lot of TV commercials and Christmas movies paint a picture of perfect families and perfect moments that none of our real families can live up to. Now, and because of that, some families approach Christmas with fear or a dread or a disappointment because it's based on an unrealistic vision of what Christmas is supposed to be. And so the problem is we make the mistake of comparing our broken, messed up insides with everyone else's Facebook posts, right? Of their seeming perfection and their great relationships, their Christmas card perfect outside. So today, I want to remind you that the big picture of Christmas is family. The big picture of Christmas is family, real families, not perfect families. And we're going to look today at the family of Jesus at Christmas. And I want to show you today from Scripture probably one of the most fastly read scriptures there is. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read the genealogies of Jesus. You know, day one of the one-year Bible. So if you're doing the one-year Bible again next year, January 1st, this is going to be on your reading. And it's probably the one, if we're honest, a lot of us kind of either skip over or read real quickly through. But I want to show you today, because remember, all scripture is God-breathed. It's there for a reason. There's a reason, you know, all of those family members are listed in the genealogy of Jesus. And so I want to show you today why I think it's there, because what you're going to see today is there are some interesting people in the family of Jesus. And Matthew takes great care not to cover them up or not to hide them from the family tree of Jesus. As a matter of fact, I think he takes a little bit of extra care to make sure we remember there is a little bit more Jerry Springer in this family tree than we'd like to imagine, all right? So I want to paint the big picture of Christmas being family. Let's start with Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus, so the family line of Jesus, the Messiah, a descendant of David, of Abraham. Okay, Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. And Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. So Matthew starts out the genealogy of Jesus with Abraham. And that's really important because Matthew's gospel was written primarily with Jews in mind. Now, did you know that Mark was written primarily with Romans in mind? That's why there's more miracles in the book of Mark than any other. Remember, Luke was a physician, very, very learned, very intellectual, and he had Greeks in mind. And John just basically wrote to everybody, which is why we tell new believers, read the book of John. It's really written to everybody. But Matthew was trying to establish the Jewishness of Jesus right off the bat. And how many know if you want to do that, you probably should start with Abraham. Right? So Abraham's kind of a big deal in the Bible. There's a lot of stuff in the Bible about Abraham. We're going to read his story. If you read his story, Genesis chapter 11 through chapter 25, he's mentioned not just in the Old Testament, but Abraham is mentioned in every one of the four Gospels. His name is mentioned 312 times in the Bible, and 11 of the New Testament books mention him. So Abraham's kind of a big deal. And Abraham's name literally means father of many. Now, did you know that the three major religions in the world today all look to Abraham as their father? Christians, Jews, and Muslims. So God speaks and tells Abraham that he's going to allow this old man and his 75-year-old wife, who has never had a child, that they were going to have a son that would start Abraham's line that would eventually end up producing the Messiah, Jesus Christ himself, a savior for the people of the world. So the Bible says that Abraham believed the promises of God, and God fulfilled his promise. And so that's where the story of the family of Jesus begins, with this massive historical figure of Abraham. But I want you to understand, when the story starts with Abraham, you got to remember, yes, he was the first one to demonstrate his devotion to God through circumcision, and he historically was the founder of the Jewish people, but how many would agree Abraham was not perfect? Matter of fact, he was far from it. There are a lot of examples that could show the brokenness of Abraham, but let me just point out the most glaring one to you, and that is the fact that not once, but twice, Abraham tried to give his wife away to avoid a confrontation. So, now I don't know how that conversation would go in your house, but if that conversation happened in my house, hey, Tracy, today I need to just lie and tell everybody you're my sister because you're so pretty, right? I'm just not sure that would go too well at my house, right? Yet, Abraham didn't do it one time. He did it twice. So this great historical figure of the Jew of the Christian faith was used by God in unprecedented ways, but he was also a man in desperate need of God every day. Write this down in your notes. This is important. Even the father of three world religions needed a savior. So the very beginning of Jesus' family tree starts off with an imperfect person. So let's keep going, all right? Verse 3, Judah was the father of Perez. Remember, Abraham, Isaac, Judah was one of his 12 sons. So Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah. And then in parentheses, look what Matthew included, whose mother was Tamar. Now that's interesting, because you normally don't read about women in the genealogies of anybody in this ancient culture. But Matthew wants us to not forget that one of the descendants of Jesus was Tamar. Now, you say, Pastor, who's Tamar? Well, Tamar's story in a nutshell goes like this. Tamar's husband dies. Her husband's brother marries her, which was the custom, but he refuses to give her children, and then he also dies. So Tamar's lonely, so she dresses up like a prostitute, get this, and hangs out where a prostitute hangs out and hooks up with her own father-in-law, Judah. Judah doesn't find out later, and months later, that he's going to be a grandpa daddy. Yeah, wow. Now, I don't know what kind of skeletons are in your family closet, regardless if you're from Louisiana or Arkansas, but this is a big one. Come on, somebody. Now, I think I think all of us have some stories in our families that we would prefer not to tell, but this is one we might want to hide, but Matthew doesn't hide it at all. Listen, try to imagine if your dad and your grandpa were the same guy. That's a little dysfunctional. But how many know Matthew's trying to communicate something very clear and very important, and it's this. Write this down, please. Even people who make horrible mistakes are welcome into the family of Jesus. Oh, this is good news. I love the gospel that Matthew is preaching in this genealogy. He's wanting us to remember it doesn't matter the mistakes you've made or how horrible you think your family is or whether or not you think you deserve to be on a Jerry Springer episode. Matthew is saying, listen, everybody's welcome in the family of God regardless of the mistakes that you've made. Amen. Verse 3, let's keep going. In the story of the family, Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nahshon. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz. And here Matthew does it again, in parentheses, whose mother was Rahab. So this is the second woman of five women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. And if the first woman didn't raise your eyebrows, this one sure will. Remember, Tamar prostituted herself in a moment of desperation, but Rahab was a professional prostitute. This is what she did for a living. She's a Canaanite prostitute from Jericho who helped out and hid two spies that Joshua had sent in, remember, to check out the city of Jericho, and then she lies to save them. So watch this. This lying pagan prostitute is adopted into God's family. It gets even better, and becomes the great-great-grandmother of King David. And she becomes part of the story of the family of Jesus. Again, the message is very, very clear. Write this down. Anyone can be adopted into God's family. Anyone can be adopted into the family of God. This is good preaching, amen? Matthew chapter 1, verse 6. It's too bad the 11 o'clock folks are going to miss this. So Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Now, there's another interesting family story in the family of Jesus. Ruth was part of the lineage of Jesus. She's the third woman mentioned in Matthew's genealogy. But Ruth's story is a bit dicey as well because she was a Moabite. If you do a little research into the history of the Moabites, you'll understand that this was a very dark people. They were not followers of Yahweh. They're a wicked people, but through a series of circumstances, Ruth decides to follow Naomi's God, Yahweh. So she joins God's family and the family of a woman named Naomi, and Ruth goes from a godless Moabite culture to becoming one of the godliest women in the Bible. And at the end of her incredible story, we don't have time to tell the whole story, but there's a whole book about it. You should read it. At the end of her incredible story, she gives birth and becomes the great-grandmother of King David. Now watch this. Everything was wrong with Ruth. She was born in the wrong place. She followed the wrong religion, and she had the wrong family. But she got a new family, a new heritage. Here's what Ruth teaches us about the family of God. A new father and a new family can change everything for you. Well, how do I get a new family, a new father? It's called adoption. And that's what God does to us through Jesus. Amen? Let's keep going in this story. It gets even gooder. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon. And here goes Matthew again. And don't forget, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. Now, there's a few names in here, maybe aren't as familiar to you as others, but these are the generation. This is the part of the story that connects this major figure, Abraham, to this next major figure, David. Because if it's possible for somebody to outshine Abraham in the scriptures, David does. Because remember, I told you, Abraham is mentioned 312 times in the Bible, but David is mentioned 1,141 times. And remember, the book of Micah in the Old Testament prophesies that the Savior will be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. So David was an incredible king, and the stories of David are magnificent, from slaying Goliath and running from Saul to his days as king. And David's responsible for writing many of the Psalms. He's this huge figure in the history of God's people. And remember, God described David as a man after God's own heart. But David was far from perfect, right? Far from it. This man, after God's own heart, was not always a godly man. And Matthew doesn't hide the story here in the genealogy. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. There's a few details Matthew puts there. You say, what? Who was Uriah? You remember the story? He was this guy who served King David as a soldier. He went off to war. But David one day sees his wife Bathsheba taking a bath on the roof. Long story short, he pursues her. He sleeps with her. She gets pregnant. If you think reading the Bible is boring, what are you reading? Come on, somebody. Right? So, Houston, we have a problem. Because how many know if a woman whose husband is off to war comes back and she's pregnant, how many know it's pretty obvious she committed adultery? So David comes up with this plan. Let's bring Uriah home. He comes up with this plan basically to murder Uriah, put him out in the front of the battle, call everybody to retreat, leave him alone to be killed, and he dies. He's a sitting duck. He dies in battle. So King David, the man after God's own heart, the boy who killed Goliath, the great leader, the king, the author of so many of the Psalms, this larger-than-life figure, maybe even larger than Abraham in the Old Testament, is an adulterer and a murderer. And at the same time, this adulterer and this murderer is in the story, in the family of Jesus. So the fourth woman mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus is a woman who commits adultery and has a child out of wedlock. This is sounding more and more like Jerry Springer all the time. So these first six verses, by the way, we've only read six verses so far in the family of Jesus. It's showing us something pretty powerful. Because Matthew's not just giving a first century version of his Facebook friends or ancient yellow pages of family members listing a bunch of names. There are some powerful spiritual principles that Matthew is communicating right off the bat in this list. Write this down. Everybody is broken and sinful, and even kings need a Savior. This is why we celebrate Christmas. This is why Jesus had to come. This is why the advent of Jesus is such a big deal, because everybody's broken. Even kings, even David, even Abraham need a Savior, and we do too. Come on, somebody, say amen. Let's keep going. We're going to read a few more. Matthew 1, verse 7, Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the father of Abijah. Abijah was the father of Asa. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the father of Jehoram. Jehoram was the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham. Jotham was the father of Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah. Keep going. I think, yes. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh was the father of Amon. Amon was the father of Josiah. Josiah was the father of Jehoiakim and his brothers, born at the time of the exile to Babylon, after the Babylonian exile. Jehoiakim was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. It's a great baby name list here, by the way. Anybody who's with child, I'm just trying to help you out. Zerubbabel was the father of Abiad. Abiad was the father of Eliakim. Eliakim was the father of Azor. Azor was the father of Zadok. Zadok was the father of Achim. Achim was the father of Iliad. Iliad was the father of Eleazar. Eleazar was the father of Mathan. Mathan was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. So finally we get to Jesus' parents. Joseph and Mary are the names that we always associate with the story of Jesus and the story of Christmas. But remember the story of Joseph. He's a young man. He's probably very poor. More than likely, he's uneducated, which wouldn't have been unusual for the carpenters of his day. He's probably in his late teens. He's not Jesus' biological dad, but he's an intimate part of this Christmas story. I want you to notice right off the bat that the story, the family of Jesus, is a blended family. Joseph decides to stay and raise this child, Jesus, even though everyone knows he's not his biological dad. So don't miss this. It's really important. Because even though he's poor, even though he's uneducated, an unknown carpenter, he's still a vital link in this story. Matthew includes Joseph in this lineage, even though Jesus is not Jesus' biological father. Watch this. Joseph adopts Jesus as his own. Now, in Luke chapter 3, in Luke's genealogy of Jesus, many believe that he lists Mary's ancestors and links them to David and Abraham as well. But Luke doesn't mention all the colorful characters that Matthew lists in his genealogy. And the question is why? I want you to understand why Matthew takes this time to point out all of these colorful characters in Jesus' family, and then he links it to Joseph. Luke links it to Mary. Why is that? Because Jesus, the Son of God, is adopted into Joseph's earthly family. And because of Jesus, our Heavenly Father adopts us into his family. Wow. Write this down. There are no insignificant members of God's family. None. Regardless of where you come from, regardless of your background, regardless of your story, there are no insignificant. There are no half-brothers and half-sisters in the family of God. There are no stepchildren. Come on, somebody. We are all members of God's family. This is good news. Mary was probably a teenager too. She didn't know it for a while, but she would be the one that Isaiah prophesied about hundreds of years earlier when he said a virgin would have a baby and his name would be Emmanuel, God with us. And through Mary's obedience, through the whole Christmas story, it becomes this amazing testimony to us of what it means to truly trust God. Because I'm sure she was maligned. I'm sure she had her name dragged through the mud. Yeah, right. You're having a baby, and yet you've never had a relationship with a man. Yeah, right. Trying to tell the story of how she got pregnant. She hadn't done anything wrong. All she did was obey, and yet her reputation was ruined. But I want you to remember today about Mary is not the Christmas story, but something closer in the timeline to the Easter story. Because remember, after Jesus dies on a cross and ascends into heaven, the last thing the New Testament says about Mary in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, the very last thing we see Mary doing is worshiping not her son, but her Savior. Mary, along with all of these other people in this story, this family of Jesus, remind us of this last thing. Everybody needs a Savior. The mother of God needs a Savior. The founder of all the world religions, the one they look to as their founder, needs a Savior. Kings need a Savior. People who from blended families and dysfunctional families, we all need a Savior. Listen, this is why the Christmas offering that we did last week was such a big deal, because people in our community need a Savior and people in Tunisia need a Savior. Are you getting this? This is why Christmas came, because everybody needs a Savior. The big picture of Christmas is family. But not just our family. It's a picture of the family of God. And the family of God is far from perfect. Let me ask you a question, and please don't raise your hand. This is a very sensitive time. Have you ever messed up? Is your family perfect? Have you sinned? Have you tried to trade your wife away to save your own skin? Have you ever committed adultery? Or murder? Were you born into a sinful family? Are you embarrassed to tell your family's story? Are you poor? Are you broken? Do you feel forgotten? Do people talk about you because of your last name? Is your reputation stained even though you didn't do anything wrong? I realize some may have come to church today embarrassed by your story. And you think maybe Christmas is hard for you because you have to be confronted with your family. And maybe you think your family doesn't measure up. Maybe, just maybe, you think your family disqualifies you from being loved by God and being included in his story. If that's you today, I've got good news. Not only is there a place for you in God's family, but God's family is full of broken people. People who've messed up. People just like you. The big picture of Christmas is family. Not just your immediate family that you're related to here on this earth, but God's big family. That's why, that's why this story of Matthew chapter 1 is such a big deal. And this is why Matthew starts out telling the family of Jesus, because this is not just Jesus' family tree. Listen closely, I'm almost done. It's yours. It's mine. It's our story. It's a story of the family of God. Tamar's in your story. Rahab's in your story. Ruth is in your story. Abraham is in your story. David is in your story. It's my story. It's a story of amazing grace. It's a story of the mind-blowing love of God who decided he was going to keep the story going through his son, Jesus Christ. Through prostitutes and murderers, through foreigners, through adulterers, he keeps the story going so there could be an unbroken tie between Abraham and David and Jesus. So the story could be told that no matter how unfaithful or broken God's people are, no matter how hopeless the line of succession might seem, no matter how impossible it seemed to connect the dots, God would do whatever it took to connect the dots of history, because he loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to save the world from its sin and brokenness. To say it another way, God loves you so much that he worked through all of these circumstances just to make sure that Jesus could come and make sure that you are part of his family. If you haven't heard anything I said today, you got to understand Christmas is because God wants you in his family. Christmas is about God including you into his family. Christmas is about God's invitation to every man, every woman, every teenager, every child in this room today and those watching online. It's an invitation. I'd like to adopt you into my family. I'd like you to be part of my sons and daughters. I want you to be part of my family. Wow, that's awesome. It's amazing. That's why the gospel of Jesus is so important, because how do we become part of God's family? Here it is, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news is that the just and gracious creator of the universe has looked upon hopelessly sinful men and women, and we've established that, right? Hopelessly sinful men and women, and has sent his son Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to bear his wrath against sin on the cross and to show his power over sin in the resurrection, so that everyone who turns from their sin and themselves and trusts in Jesus as Savior and Lord will be reconciled to God forever. Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes here in this room today? If you're here and you say, you just want to take a moment, you just want to say, God, thank you for including me in your family. Thank you for the amazing grace of God, the kindness of God. Just go ahead and take a moment right now and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, God, that even though I'm not perfect, I readily admit I'm not perfect. I've sinned. I've fallen short. I thank you for the grace of God you've given me to be part of your family. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, you know what? I have not accepted this gospel of Jesus Christ. Currently, I am not following Jesus. I've not made him Lord of my life. And today, I want to be adopted into God's family. I want to be adopted into the family of God. I want to be part of God's family today. In just a second, I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, I want you to put your hand up. And when you put your hand up, you're just going to be saying, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be part of the family of God. One. The Spirit of God is here today. He's moving in your heart. And the reason he's doing it is because he loves you. You're here today because he loves you. You're watching today because he loves you. Listen, the enemy of your soul has been lying to you for so long, telling you how bad you are, how many mistakes you've made, all these things in your past. And God brought you here today to hear this powerful message. There is no one too far gone.
that you can't be included in the family of God. Two, the Bible makes it very clear today is the day of salvation. There's an urgency to this message. We need to get right with God today because no one is promised tomorrow. So when I say three, I want you to put your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to make things right with God. I want to be part of God's family. I'm ready to commit my life to Jesus Christ. When I say three, put your hand up. Regardless of how old or how young you are, how many times you've been at this church, it may be your first time, you may have been here hundreds of times. The only thing that matters today is, are you part of God's family? When I say three, put your hand up. Pastor, pray for me. I want to be part of God's family. One, two, three. Put it up. Thank you. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. Thank you. Keep raising them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Keep raising them. Keep raising them. Keep your hand up for just a few more moments. Thank you so much. All of those of you that raise your hand. If you raise your hand, I want to pray this simple prayer. A prayer of adoption, really. A prayer of confession. A prayer of the beginning of a relationship with Jesus. Everyone who raised their hand, pray this prayer with me. And everybody that would like to encourage them as their spiritual brothers and sisters, pray it with them as well. But if you raise your hand, I want you to pray a little bit louder than the person next to you. Would you pray this way? Dear God, thank you for bringing me to church today. Thank you for this message of grace. I want to be part of your family. I believe in Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection made it possible for me to be part of your family. Today I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I'm going to follow him. Holy Spirit, give me your power to serve you every day by the grace of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Would you give God praise for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen. Many hands just now raised and prayed to receive Christ. If you just did that, I want to encourage you to do a couple things. First of all, I want to encourage you on your way out at the Next Steps tent. There's a place for you there. Please stop there. I want you to see Pastor Jason, some of his team, and we want to put a one-year Bible in your hand. We want to put a little book called Begin in your hand and just some resources to help you begin your relationship with God, because help me know, the prayer, the decision is just the beginning. Now you're on a journey of following Jesus. Are you getting this? And the good news is you're not going to be on that journey alone. You are now part of the family of God. So on behalf of Grace Assembly of God and the body of Christ worldwide, welcome to the family of God. Come on, church, give God praise for these who just prayed to receive Christ. I know it's early and I know it's cold, but some people just got right with God and got their adoption papers. Amen. 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 Praise God. Before we transition the service to the offering, I want to take a moment and I want to pray for everyone here today. I know a lot of you are going to be traveling to see your family, and some are facing loss. We've had several families in our church who have had lost loved ones just in this last week and last few weeks. Some are traveling. Some of you are going to be with lost family members that need Jesus. And today's message reminded some of us that, you know, our families are more like the Simpsons than the Waltons. And we just need some grace. So I want to pray for you today. Is that okay? Father, I pray for every family that's represented here today. Every family gathering, every phone call that's going to take place, every trip, every effort that's going to be to connect with family members. Lord, we just pray for your grace. We pray for the presence of God to go before us. For those that are traveling, God, protect them. Send your angels around them. And Lord, may that time of traveling even be just a sweet time of grace and the presence of God. We pray, Lord, that you'd make us salt and light to people who are lost. Family members who, God, they think they know you, but they don't. And we pray that you would help us to be filled with the knowledge of God. Lord, let the gifts of the Spirit be in operation as we give words of knowledge and words of wisdom and gifts of faith and healing as we pray and believe and represent Jesus Christ. God, we pray specifically for families who are walking through loss and difficulty. God, cover them and strengthen them in in this time. It's hard, but your grace is sufficient. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And God, may every family that's represented by these men and women here today, those that are watching today, may they be blessed with a supernatural grace on every family gathering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Steve.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to us, O Israel.
I want to invite our ushers to come. We're going to receive God's tithes and our offering. So if you would prepare to give, we appreciate so much your faithfulness and your generosity in giving to the Lord. And just want to say, while you're preparing to give today, last weekend, the Singing Christmas Tree Spectacular, this church just shined and shined and shined. Hundreds of volunteers working so hard, giving so much time. The band, the choir, the cast, the crew, the parade, the tech, the media, the hospitality teams, the parking, it's just over the top. Honestly, the best I've ever seen this church. You were in full grace mode. And I just want to honor you and thank you. More than 3,000 people were here. Lots of folks prayed to receive Christ. And we're already receiving testimonies of some Christmas miracles that have taken place in the hearts and lives of people getting saved, people getting healed. I'd like to give God praise for that, wouldn't you? Amen? Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for that. And then last Sunday morning, I mean, after all, on the biggest, one of the biggest weekends of the year, why not take a Christmas offering and try to change the world through missions, right? We did that. And last week's response was incredible. And I just want to honor you and thank you for that. Now, I'm not going to announce the total today, even though I want to. I'm going to announce it on January 1st. And remember, on January 1st, we have one service at 11 o'clock. And I'm telling you that now because we're going to allow you to continue to give in that offering through the end of the year. Because when I announce the total on January 1st, you're going to want to say, I was part of that. I'm giving you a chance to say, hey, I was part of that. And our goal for the Christmas offering is for everyone to participate. The funds are going to Tunisia and also here in our community for Angel Care. Now, I told you that six churches are coming together for the Tunisia Project. And one of the churches that shared the challenge last Sunday as well is from Atlanta, Georgia. And I've got a very rough but simple video testimony of what happened in this church in Atlanta when this challenge for Tunisia was presented. Watch Pastor Dave Devine on the screen.
Hello, everybody. I'm Dave Devine from the Church of Chapel Hill, and we just had a great Sunday as we shared about the Tunisia Project. I was so blessed as I asked people to consider what they would give, and during the time that we were receiving our offering, I just felt prompted to ask people in the congregation if everyone knew Christ. And I gave an altar call, and I just felt the Holy Spirit say, ask people right here in West Atlanta if they know Jesus. And so I gave that altar call, gave that invitation, and a woman lifted her hand in the audience, and she appeared to be a Muslim woman. And she lifted her hand, and she prayed with us, and she accepted Christ. Following the service, I went down and left the platform as soon as I could, and I approached her, and I said, I noticed that you lifted your hand to accept Jesus today. And she said, yes, I did. And she looked at me, and she said, I'm a Muslim from Tunisia. And I was absolutely floored, and I couldn't believe that in the day that we were presenting the Tunisia Project, God had sent a Muslim woman from Tunisia living in our community to come and hear the message. And she said, thank you so much, Pastor Dave, for sharing with us today. And she says, what you said today was all so, so true about my country. And so praise God, I was able to pray with her again. I was able to talk with her. And we're just celebrating today that the Tunisia Project, yes, we're able to fund it. We're able to help and see more and more lives change in Tunisia. But even on that Sunday at our church, we had a Muslim woman from Tunisia give her life to Jesus. Listen, that's what this is all about. The gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful.
Don't you be patty caking for Jesus. That's just flat out awesome. Amazing. How much does God want people to be saved? He wants them to be saved pretty badly, to make details like that come together. And so thank you for giving in the Christmas offering. You are part of changing people's lives around the world, and we thank God for that. We appreciate so much your generosity and your faithfulness. If you're considering a year-end gift, or your company is considering a year-end gift for Christmas, let me go ahead and just humbly say, consider Grace Assembly of God. We're a church who believes wholeheartedly in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you to consider us. Thank you so much, everyone, for giving today. We appreciate ushers. Go ahead and receive the offering. I want to invite our staff to join us on the platform here this morning. I want to take some time here at the very end of the service to give you an opportunity to see this wonderful team of men and women who serve you every single day here at our church. Now, a lot of these men and women are never on the platform except one day a year at Christmas when we introduce them to you. But I want to give you an opportunity to acknowledge them. You guys, yeah, go ahead and push that TV back there. But today is a day we're going to give them a gift on behalf of the church to say thanks for all of the extras that they do day after day all through the year. But I gave all of these guys a little bit of a pep talk a few weeks ago about Christmas, because Christmas around here is just incredibly busy, incredibly active. And I was just reminding these guys that everybody feeds off you and your attitudes and your spirit and all of that. And I just want to encourage you. The reason I was able to say a few minutes ago that you guys rose to the occasion and better than ever, can I go ahead and tell you, it's because of these guys behind me. And they're the ones that set the tone. They work hard. They serve with excellence. And so I just want to say thank you to them. All right, I'm just going to go real quick and so that you can see. This is Robin Nealis, our receptionist, perhaps the nicest person in the world. Holly Renforth, thank you so much for assisting Pastor Jason and Pastor Tim. This, come on out here. I'm going to brag on you a little bit because she never gets seen. This is Ashley Cruiser. She organizes the nursery preschool area for everything. All three nights of the Singing Christmas Tree, she was always there organizing and making that happen. You ought to make her know how much you appreciate Ashley. Man, Karina Sedaris. Pastor Steve's assistant, and I heard from heaven that you're an answer to prayer. Thank you so much. Brenda Powers is one of my assistants. I have two because I'm that kind of person. Brenda, Paul, come on out here. Paul's the buildings and ground. He leads a building and ground team. He's the guy that was on here early this morning, making sure you weren't slipping, sliding into church. This guy is the man. Give it up for Paul Sopke. Awesome. He makes Christmas often. Pastor Tim, how long have you been here?
13 years.
And if Robin's the nicest lady we have on staff, Tim's the nicest guy, all right? He's also my brother-in-law. Would you let him know how much you appreciate him? Man, Pastor Gary is our executive pastor. Been with us just a little over a year and a few months and doing a great, great job. Thank you, Pastor Gary, for all that you do here. Pastor Ed Garcia, Spanish Language Ministry and Discipleship. Pastor Ed and Evelyn, you've also been here a few years.
14 years.
Give it up for Pastor Ed and Evelyn. Pastor Jason and Amy started off as our children's pastor. Now he's the Activate pastor in charge of our volunteers. You and Amy have been here.
12 years.
These are like the three amigos of longevity. So give it up for Pastor Jason. Pastor Steve, I'm not sure why you're so dressed up today, but you look good.
My wife told you to.
That's a great reason to do it. Yeah.
I'm sure there's an Abraham story in there somewhere, but if you appreciate Pastor Steve, let him know it. Man, David Adams. Hey, this guy is our new media director, and he stepped up. He was working all by himself for a little over a month in that department. He made it happen. So would you let David know you appreciate him? This is our newest staff member. This is Ryan Carter. He is Dave's assistant media director. And as you can tell, he has brought the GQ level of this church up immediately. Welcome Ryan Carter to our team. Barb Merritt, come up here, Barb. Barb's in our accounting office. She assists Pastor Gary. She's also my neighbor, so be nice to Barb. All right, thank you, Barb. My man Kate Smith is one of our receptionists. She's a college student at Southeastern, and she's spending some time with us. And so say thank you to Kate. Thank you. God bless you. Ashley has been on our team for a few months. She assists Pastor Ryan in our children's ministry department and doing a great job. Thank you, Ashley. We appreciate you. Andrew and Anna, come on up here, both of you. Anna assists Andrew. These are our youth pastors. And has it been a year yet? Happy anniversary to us. All right. We love these guys. Would you let them know how much we appreciate Andrew and Anna? My favorite staff member of all. She's the reason for so many things. But she became my assistant this year, and our marriage is still going strong. Amen. This is the lady who does everything and makes it happen. Thank you so much, Tracy, for being awesome. Jeff Little and Heather have been at our church 18 years. You win. All right. So currently, IT, he teaches a worldview class for students at 9 o'clock that your kids should be a part of. Thanks, Pastor Jeff, for being awesome. David Sopke, hold on. You beat Jeff. Come out here. You beat Jeff. How long? How long have you and Debbie been here?
About 19.
19 years. Sorry, you lose. You win. David Tapes, take care of our building, does an excellent job. Say thank you to David. Ryan and Amber, come on out here. Ryan and Amber, our children's pastors. These guys are rock stars when it comes to children's ministry, and they never dress the same. It's always spectacular, and Amber assists Ryan as well. And so they're going to be doing the Kids Christmas production in a few minutes. Would you say thank you to Pastor Ryan and Amber? Great, great job. Come on, would you sell all of these staff? What a great, great job that they've done, and how much you love and appreciate them and wish them a Merry Christmas. Amen. All right. Now, stay standing. I want to ask you a favor on behalf of all of these people behind me. Tracy and I know for a fact that encouragement and thank yous, they just go a long way. And yes, these guys are paid for what they do. But I'm going to tell you what, none of them only do what's required. All of them do above and beyond what is required. And so would you do me a favor? In the next 7 days, would one of your Christmas, on your Christmas list be write a note, send a card, or even an email or text, and just say, thanks for being awesome. Merry Christmas. We appreciate what you do. Because I promise, these are the people who make it all happen. And so thank you so much. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May God lift up his countenance upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. May your Christmas week be absolutely fantastic. We love you. God bless you. Merry Christmas.